So in the coming week, Bezos Hashem, we're going to start the mitzvah of Lois Asuro. I understand that the emails still didn't get around yet, but Bezos Hashem, they should be coming within the next 24 hours, the emails. And I hope also to have printed material, Blinada, by tomorrow night. But mitzvah of Lois Asuro is a little bit more cryptic than the other mitzvahs, obviously. All the other mitzvahs, at least in a general way, they were pretty straightforward. Lois Asuro. Acharei Levamchem v'acharei Einechem. First of all, it's a chiddush that it's a mitzvah. Lois Asuro. Lois Asuro. Acharei Levamchem v'acharei Einechem. First of all, it's a chiddush that it's a mitzvah. What's the context of the pasuk? You should wear tzitzis, and you should see them, and remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. You won't stray after your heart or after your eyes. So you might say, okay, it's kind of like telling you what the ultimate purpose of tzitzis is going to be. But no, we do see clearly that these are actually considered mitzvahs aseh mi d'oraisa. Do not stray after your heart and after your eyes. So what does that mean? That's obviously question number one. And question number two is, what's constant about it? Meaning, even if you're not allowed to stray after your heart and after your eyes, meaning if your eyes start floating away somewhere, don't follow them, we have to define, what does that mean that I have to be busy with all the time? The very fact that something is a loisa, say that you're not allowed to do something, doesn't make it a constant mitzvah. Otherwise we would have 365 constant mitzvahs, right? Not eating pork is also a constant mitzvah. You can't do it all the time. But no, we're understanding a constant mitzvah are things that require a certain level of consciousness, or what we might actually call careers, things that you're supposed to be building and developing all the time throughout your life. So first of all, what does it mean? So in the most basic way, and this is really where all the kadmainim are going to come off discussing, that will Bezos Hashem be the material for this week, and we won't get into the particulars of their discussions. In the basic way, it's obviously based on the Chazal that says, don't stray after your heart. Zu minus. This refers to minus. Minus, in a very broad way, means apikorsis. Don't think apikorsis. What's that? Achrei levavchem. Zu minus, right? Don't think apikorsis. V'achrei einechem, zu znus. Don't follow your eyes. This refers to znus. It's the eyes that get znus going. So don't follow your eyes. Asher atem zoinim achreim. Then it says that you stray after. That refers to avodah zarah. Okay, that's Chazal. How exactly we break these things down is discussed by the Rishonim. That leave for the Olam to learn the sugyas and reach their own maskanas. But what I want to try to do now is discuss in a general way what is constant about these mitzvahs. Because in a general way, again, as we'll see throughout the week, different Rishonim define it in different ways, exactly how you work it out l'maisa. But in a general way, the idea is you have to be careful not to allow yourself to become exposed to or to entertain apikorsis, right? So in a very broad way, don't start considering that perhaps Christianity is true, right? And acharei einechem zu znus, which means also in a very broad way, don't allow yourself to get schlepped after znus. But what's constant about it? And also, I'll ask another question. These same things, all the mitzvahs that we saw up till now, right? We had emunah and lo-yir, Gira, Ava. All the mitzvahs that we saw up till now are all encompassing, right? These are mamish fundamental mitzvahs of Yiddishkeit. Would we say that these are fundamental in our career as Jews? So the answer is that yes. And really, in a way, Lois Asuro is kind of coming to preserve, if we'll call it that, all of the other mitzvahs. The other five mitzvahs. All the other five mitzvahs, amongst what we've seen, are is developing a certain consciousness. A certain consciousness is that really constitutes the Jewish personality, the way the Jewish mind works. emuna, yichud, lo yir, yira, ava. This is what a Jew walks around. This is who a Jew is. And there's not mitzvahs that you do. This is who a Jew is. Leisasuru is coming to preserve them. Meaning as follows. A person might have all the right ideas, might have all the right hashkafas, might have his mind set in the right direction. But yet, now the Torah is coming and telling you, you have to realize that you don't live in a vacuum. If you lived in Olam Haba, that would be great. You develop emuna, yichud, all the consciousness that these mitzvahs are coming, that would be great. But you live in an Olam Hazeh. And you have to be aware of something. This is really what Leis HaSuru is telling you. You have to be aware of something. You have to be aware that as long as you're living in a body, and as long as that body is on this side of the earth, not on the bottom side of the earth, right? As long as you're living in Olam Hazeh, there are all kinds of forces out there attacking you and working against all the other five mitzvahs. And you have to make it a career to counter that, to resist it, not to let it influence you. So, we'll start with that. Minus, the wrong ideas. The wrong ideas. So, yes, this also is a career. But you know what? I want to start with Achrei Einechem because that's the easier one to relate to, and then we'll get back to Achrei Levavchem. Achrei Einechem. If we'll take it on a very simple level, we're going to see some of the Rishonim who say that this simply means not to look at arayos, not to look at women, not to look at forbidden women. Shmira say nine. Other Rishonim take it in a little bit of a more comprehensive way and say it's not just a very technical mitzvah, don't look at women because that'll cause you znus. It's a bit more of a broad thing. Don't become obsessed with znus. Is more of a representative thing of tivus in general. Tivus in general. Don't become obsessed with tivus. Don't let yourself get caught up with tivus. Don't let your mind become occupied with that. Don't let it become a part of your life. Now,
all addictions, all types.
Again, I will learn the Rishonim. You'll see what the different nuances in each one's Lashonis is. But there is such an approach. You'll have to define exactly who holds what. But there is such an approach. Now, what does that mean? Let's say, for example, let's just take an extreme example, right? One of the most famous concepts, a very famous phenomenon, which you see in the Gashmi is Dika level. A person is an alcoholic. He realizes that he's ruining his life. You ask him, is this what you want for yourself and for your family? He sees that his family is wreckage. He sees that his life is wreckage. Right? And all the different ambitions and visions that he has for himself in the future, he realizes that he's not going to attain. He's not going to be able to get anywhere along these lines as long as he's continuing in his pattern that he is right now. He knows it well. And he's determined to stop. And if you ask this person, where will you be in 20 years from now? He's going to be in a completely different place. He will have long... If you ask, where am I going to be in 20 years from now? I will have long ago have abandoned alcohol. When will that long ago be? Well, you're talking about me 20 years from now? It will mean 15 years ago from then. It doesn't mean from now. Because... Or... Take it a step further. The guy who does want to do it now, and he really does go, and he really does work at it. You have all too often, again, there are people who are matzliach, but all too often people who know, etc., and they realize that they just can't give up the bottle. They just can't. Yes, he knows, but when the bottle is there, that wins all the different cheshbonos, all the different visions, all of his thoughts of his children's future, and all of his thoughts of his own future, and of his life, and of the shambles that his family is now. It's all nice in theory, but what's nicer when the battle is there, he falls. Right? And what do they say? The story about, this is kind of a joke, but it's not such a joke, about the man who was a big drunkard, making his family terrible b'zayinus, and he had already adult children who were really suffering from what he was doing to the family name. And they always used to try to get him to stop, and he always used to say, okay, but he always used to revert. And then one day when his son was walking through the street, he came across the other town drunkard. There were two town drunkards apparently. He came across the other town drunkard, and this guy had really done a job, and he was lying now in the streets yelling and screaming, rolling in his vomit, and really making a good scene. So this fellow figured, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to bring my father over. He knew that his father was sober at the time. I'm going to bring my father over here now and show him what it looks like. Let him see it from a sober perspective. So the father came over, but he just saw the guy and he said, "Wow, what a lucky guy." And he went over to the guy and he shook him and he said, "Wake up, wake up. What did you drink? What was it? What was it you drank?" Right? So, shot is, now a person is already, the fellow is already so entrenched he can't get himself out of it. But what did it start with? It didn't start that way. He wasn't entrenched in it in the first place. When he was 17 years old, he would be able to easily pass by a bottle of wine without taking it. But he took his first bottle of wine, right? And that's like what they say, you know, the famous, "But why don't you make shechiyano on a cigarette the first time you smoke?" Well, the first time you smoke in the bathroom because you don't want everybody to see how you're coughing over it, how you can't get it down. So he took his first bottle of wine, he coughed, he sputtered, he couldn't handle it, it was disgusting, but it's cool. And so he did it again. And then he did it again. And then he started liking it. And then he started liking it some more. And before you knew it, he was entrenched, he was addicted, and that was it. But where did it start from? In the beginning, it was so easy to just avoid it. It was so easy to just keep away. This is the broader concept of Achrei Nechem Zu Znus. If we're talking in the broader concept, not in terms of Znus per se, where this concept is obviously well applicable, but we're talking in the concept of do not allow yourself to get entrenched in Taivis. Now when we're talking about alcohol, we're talking about something that everyone can see how destructive it is. When you're talking about Znus, it's something everybody can see how destructive it is. But the truth is that in general, once a person becomes a slave to his Taivis, that automatically is going to be working against spiritual achievement and accomplishment. And therefore, yes, what we're saying is, do not allow yourself. You have to be on guard. Don't allow yourself to get swept into it. Now this you have to be careful, because this is something that requires a lifetime of vigilance. Because you're surrounded by Taivis on all sides. And again, it's your eyes that are at work. Like Chazal say, right? The Torah singles out, Levavchem v'achreineichem. Your heart and your eyes. The heart and the eyes work in tandem. They work together. The eyes see something, right? They light up, they send a message to the heart. The heart is determined now to get it. So, yes, your eyes are open. And you're going through this world with open eyes. And all around you there are going to be things that are appealing to your open eyes. So in other words, your sensitivities are being attacked all the time. Your spiritual level is being attacked all the time by all kinds of things that you can get swept into it. And often it's an issue that, in the first place, it's easy enough not to get swept into it. But once you start letting yourself, once you stop becoming entrenched, you get lost. There's another element also. Sometimes it's not necessarily. Can I say something?
So how far should a person take that? You shouldn't have your tea, you shouldn't have your coffee. You know, you're Danish, like, give up everything, and then people could get pretty
No. When we talk about not getting obsessed with Taivis, it doesn't mean not to enjoy, not to have a pleasure. Talk about not to get obsessed. Not to allow yourself to get schlepped into things. That's what we're talking about. Now, there's also more to this, because there are things, here we're talking about, again, a person who becomes entrenched in something that he can't get himself out of. But besides that, there are all kinds of things. Again, what was the example that Chazal used? The example that Chazal used was Znus. So once again, Znus is something pretty severe. Something that most people who consider themselves basically from won't have actually done. But Znus Einayim. There's all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of other averis that are connected. Right? And here also, A person has to be on guard. A person's spiritual standards are always going to be under assault, especially in today's world. We're talking about, Chazal said this who knows how many years ago, but all the more so in today's world. A person's spirituality is always under assault because of things around him. And here's the constant mitzvah. The constant mitzvah is, be on guard. Go through this world with the awareness that you're under assault. It's like, for example, right? What Chazal say? Right? A person has to realize, this is really what the constant mitzvah here is, the realization that you're under assault, not to stick your hand in the head in the sand and say, well, if something comes up, I'll deal with it. You have to be taking measures to avoid these assaults in the first place. And therefore, for example, Chazal say, right, a person who walks by when women are in a compromised state of tznius, sometimes a person has to walk by that there's not much that he can do about it. But Chazal say when there are two roads to take, Chazal actually ask it as a kasha. It's very interesting. When there are two roads to take, go one way, there are women standing in a compromised matzav of tznius. You can go another way, there aren't. Chazal say if a person says he'll go on the way where the women are standing and he'll close his eyes. He's going to walk with his eyes closed tightly shut. Chazal say that that person is a Rasha. A Rasha. That's where the famous concept comes from. Ikedalka achrina, if there's a different way or a different route that you could take and you choose to take the problematic one and you make sure that you're going to have your hands over your eyes, that's called a Rasha. Because this person, the problem here is that, well, this, it's not just enough to have all the right ideas, but you have to be taking the efforts to preserve those ideas. And Hashem is telling you, don't be smarter than Hashem. Don't say no. You hear people saying, you have to be strong enough too. Maybe you have to be strong enough too. But if you're not strong enough too, don't think you're strong enough too, right? You have to be strong enough to resist. You have to be strong enough to fail. You have to be mature enough. No, don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Yes. The world is set up that the reality around you will be assaulting all of your ruchniyistic achievements, and you have to be on guard not to allow it to happen. That's right. We have to talk about.
Consider a Russia because he may fail.
Yeah.
He's putting himself in a situation where he may fail.
That's right. Chazon Ish Tak extrapolates and says that this is a general concept. For a person to put himself in a situation of nisayon is called a Russia. Don't look for nisyanis. Don't worry, Hashem will send you plenty anyways. Nisyanis are a very important part of our life. But our job is, part of our nisyan is, to avoid those nisyanis. Okay, this is obviously relevant, right? A person takes the liberty of bringing all kinds of material into his home that has, forget, if we'll call the material that's really designated as znus material. But again, you have to realize that we're living in a world where the norm is, where the standard is, that things that for us are mamish considered arayas are considered perfectly normal. If we just give an example, talk about a regular, we'll call a regular, so to speak, newspaper. A regular newspaper, right? How uncommon it is. Talk about the typical newsstand. How uncommon is it to see on the front page a woman without sleeves? Gotta be normal, right? Anybody normal? That's the world today, right? A woman without sleeves. Allow yourself to bring that into your home. What else is in the paper? Right, so forget about it. We're not talking about things that are real serious, you know, officially l'shem znus. That's not l'shem znus. That's how women dress today, right? Allow yourself to bring that in. So these are all issues. This is the issue of loisa sarach neichem. You have to be on guard. You have to be vigilant. You have to realize that yes, if we're living according to the Torah's standards, it's standards of normalcy around us today are one big assault on our sensitivities. So that's loisa sarach neichem. Loisa sarach levavchem. Fall back up a little bit. Loisa sarach levavchem means, basically, do not expose yourself to the wrong ideas. The human mind is one of the most vulnerable things there is, right? And one of the most easily influenced. Well, the only thing it's influenced is people's minds, but it's very easily influenced. And here also, people can make the mistake of thinking, I'm strong enough, I can read such and such, and I won't be influenced. But again, the Torah is telling you here, don't stick your head in the dirt. Be on guard. It's a mitzvah, we're saying that this is a constant mitzvah in and of itself. Be on guard. It's not enough that you've developed a proper understanding of emunah, of yichud Hashem, of logiyah. You've developed yira and ahava, which are also lifetime concerns. There's a separate mitzvah. Preserve these things. Preserve these things by being on guard. Preserve these things by realizing that there's all kinds of things out there that are schlepping you away. And here already, we're not talking in the physical realm like we were talking up till now. Now we're already talking in what we might call the intellectual realm, the hashkafic realm, the ideological realm, etc. Don't think that you can read or expose yourself to all kinds of material that's contrary to Jewish ideology and not to be affected. What's that? Dam al-Hashib. Well, that's the question. It's a big question. Dam al-Hashib has to be done in a very, very guided way. A person would just go off, let's say, reading all kinds of material of other faiths because he wants to know what to be meshiv. Do you know, by reading that material, will you know what to be meshiv, or will they be meshiv, are they being dam al-Hashib to you? Right? That has to be done in a very guided way. Look for the dam al-Hashib within our sources. Within our sources. But for a person to just go freely and allow himself to expose himself to these things, people have fallen because of that. People have fallen because of that. And a person needs to be very guided in order to... The truth is that in general, I mean, Rabbi Avigdor Miller was once asked, should a yeshiva boy be out doing kiruv? So he said, kind of like a bit of a sharp answer, he said, if a person is drowning, should you jump in and save him? Same question. At first glance, that sounds to all of us, that's it. He answered the question, of course. But then he added, and he said, well, it depends if you know how to swim. Depends if you know how to swim. Of course the answer is that you should save somebody who's drowning. But you're standing on the pier, right? And it's 50 feet deep. He's drowning, and you're going to jump in. So it'll be two Leviathans tomorrow. What do? You have to know if you're capable of swimming. You have to know if you're capable not just of swimming, even if you're capable of swimming. Do you know how to deal with a person who's flailing and struggling in the water? As soon as you approach him, he's going to try to pull you down. This is this issue. So yes, these things have to be done in a very guided way. Dam al-Hashiv will often depend on filling ourselves up with our ideology in a very, very, very solid way before we can know. Before we can actually be able to approach it. A person has to be very solid before he can go out and take them on their territory. So, for example, the way the Rambam puts it is that yes, people's minds are vulnerable. And so often you see that it's really just an issue of rhetoric. If the other guy is a good writer, he'll influence you. And here also, we're not just talking about actual Avodah Zarah, but we're talking about Torah attitudes in general. There are all kinds of things that are contrary to Torah attitudes. There's all kinds of material that can be eroding the Torah attitudes. If you know, Shlomo HaMelech said, "Mikol mishman etzor libecho ki mimenu toitzes chayim." You have to keep your mind. Your mind is your most powerful tool of Avodas Hashem. And you have to make sure that your mind is simply a pure vehicle of Avodas Hashem. And there are all kinds of things that can pollute the mind and work against it. And therefore, you have to be very, very picky about what you allow into your mind. A person shouldn't think, I know that yes, this publication is written by Api Karsim, but I enjoy a certain element of it, and again, once again, I'm strong enough to be able to read these things and know what yes and what not. Right? I'm strong enough to be able to. Don't think that. You call Mishman Nitzor Libecha. You have to realize that your mind and the understandings that you've developed, these are all sensitive. Your mind is very sensitive. Like I think it was, I forgot who it was, one of the Gedolim in Europe said, that if a person would read Der Sturmer long enough, Der Sturmer was the Nazi newspaper. If a person would read Der Sturmer long enough, he would start having negative feelings about Jews, being a Jew. A Jew who reads Der Sturmer long enough would start having negative feelings towards Jews. Right? Now, what does that mean? That means that he'll agree, hate all Jews. He'll start feeling uncomfortable with the fact that there are certain legitimate tainas here. Right? Because he reads it. It's well written. Right? Written by people of talent. He'll start feeling uncomfortable with the fact, ooh, there are certain legitimate tainas here. And he starts feeling funny when he's around other Jews. And sometimes when he's, you know, with other Jews and he's with Gaim, he'll start feeling apologetic because of the way most other Jews act, even though I try not to be that way, right? So, again, you have to realize that the mind is a vulnerable thing. And being vigilant, being careful, is something that requires consciousness, we'll put it that way. Actively being conscious of the fact that, yes, it's being assaulted from all angles, and we have to make a career out of guiding, out of guarding it, out of preserving the consciousness that we've gained. The truth is, we have to realize that this really is the value of what we call being sheltered, which often today is given a certain negative connotation, right? Shelter people, closed, insulated, right? Has a certain negative connotation. We have to realize what we're doing. It's not an issue of, you know, I'm hiding from my kids what's going on in the outside world. I don't want them to know, right? No, on the contrary, we're snobs, right? The same way you shelter your mouth, you're not going to let, you're going to make sure that what you are, what's going into your mouth lives up to the sanitary conditions that you consider basic. What goes into your mind is the same thing. No, before I let something into my mind, I want to know, what am I letting into my mind? I don't just allow anybody access into my mind. I have to know what his opinions are. I have to know what his ideology is before I let him in. So yes, I shelter my mind because I'm a snob. Because I'm too aloof to just let garbage get into my mind. That's what I tell my children also. I don't hide them from the outside world. On the contrary, I tell them, yes, there's a sick outside world there. And because we value our mind more than anything else, we don't want any of that pollution to get in here. Yeah, you can raise children not hiding from the outside world, but proudly aloof from the outside world, with a value of Mikol Mishmar Netzoli Becha. One of the fundamental words in Mishle. Mikol Mishmar Netzoli Becha. Be careful with your heart. Your heart really means your heart and your mind, your feelings, etc. You have to be most careful with your heart and your mind. Now the truth is, there's another level to this. There's another level to this. Besides just the issue of protecting it from the wrong influences and exposure, there's another issue as well. Rabbi Nieina quotes the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin. Famous Gemara in Sanhedrin says, "Heichidami Apikoros." Who is an Apikoros? So the Gemara there gives a lot of different hagdaras, and one of them is a person who says, "Ma'ahane hanu rabban." What do the Chachamim do for us? Meaning, person wants to go become a rabbi. That we understand, he's providing a community service. But a person who's just learning, a person who's just sitting and learning. Parasite, right? He's just sitting in his own corner, not contributing anything to society. What do we get out of him? What gain does society get out of such a person? The Gemara says that's an apikoros. So we often take that, understand that to mean that no, understanding the chshivas of a Talmud Chacham is a very basic fundamental of Yiddishkeit. That's what we see from that Gemara. Rabbi Nieina says something very interesting. What's that?
I understand.
A person who says that such a thing, what do we gain from the Talmid Chachamim?
He said that, but the person who learns on his side...
Oh no, he's not an apikoros. He's a great person.
He doesn't contribute to society.
So Rabbi Nieina says as follows. So Rashi says, what's apikoros about that? That these people don't understand that the Talmid Chachamim are the biggest contributors to society. They're the ones who are protecting society. They're the ones who are bringing bracha to society. So again, generally this is understood to mean that this is mamish, right? That's where I'm going. But the vote is like this. Rabbi Nieina, sorry, We take that to mean that yes, this is such a fundamental aspect of Yiddishkeit, understanding the Chshivas of the Talmud Chacham, and therefore it's so fundamental that a person who doesn't believe that is an apikoros. Rabbi Yehuda comes out very differently, very interesting. No, not necessarily because this is so fundamental. It's for a different reason, because it's meduyak in a pasuk, not like that. Pasuk says, "Im yu chamishim tzaddikim b'seichayev and asasil l'kol amokim ba'avulam." Right when Avraham Avinu is negotiating with Hashem to spare Sodom, so what are the negotiations boil down to? Amounts of talmidei chacham, amounts of tzaddikim, okay, amounts of tzaddikim, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, right? So Ben Yehuda says, "Ah, it's mashma from that pasuk that talmidei chachamim actually protected the city." Now, is that a most fundamental concept of Torah? Maybe, maybe not, but that's not the point. Rabbi Yehuda says, so the reason it's apikosis is because it's going against the mashmos from a pasuk. Pasuk indicates that they are important, and you think that they're not important, so it's an apikosis. Let's understand what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. The point here is not how fundamental the Talmidei Chachamim are, the point is something else. If a person has an attitude that's contrary to a more subtle Torah attitude, apikoros doesn't have to be a person who clashes with Anochi Hashem. The Torah is full of attitudes. The Torah is full of values. Many of them might be more subtle nuances. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this is a more subtle nuance. It's a diuk from a pasuk in Parshas Vayera. Right? But a person who clashes with that, a person whose attitude clashes with that, is an apikoros because he's clashing with a Torah attitude. Ooh. So, that's just one example. If this is the pshat in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that it goes against an implication of a pasuk, how many more are there? Right? There are countless more examples of such things, and the answer is that it's true. And here's where we start understanding that yes, the Torah is full of values, of attitudes. The Torah is a whole mentality. The Torah is not just, you know, 13 Ikarim and then a bunch of things that you do or don't do, and it's a dry system. The Torah is a mentality. Right? Whose mentality? The Torah is actually kiviyochel the seichel of Hashem, kiviyochel, expressed in a very, very physical way for us to be able to relate to. But the Torah is a whole mentality, it's a whole mindset. And here also, we're told that Leis HaSiru is actually, don't clash with the Torah mindset, don't clash with the Torah attitude, don't have attitudes that run contrary to the Torah. You can be a frum Jew and you can believe in the 13 Ikarim, but don't have attitudes that run contrary to the Torah attitudes that, I hope we could say on a more subtle level, will render a person an apikoros also, because the Maisi is clashing with the Torah attitudes. This is taka, a lifetime career, to be working to develop the Torah mindset, to be working to develop the Torah mentality. And it's interesting, taka, that the way the Bir Halacha brings it, this mitzvah of Leis HaSiru, which is the lashon of the Chaye Adam, is not just don't have an opinion that goes against one of the Ikari Torah, but don't have an opinion that goes against, I forgot the exact lashon, that goes against the deis of the Torah, the opinions of the Torah. Don't conflict with the Torah's opinions. This also is something of a lifetime of developing those sensitivities. Now here also, you have to realize that this is something that also a person can often naturally conflict with. So there's a lashon of the Chazanish, which is a very strong lashon. He says, if we'll just draw on a contemporary example, excuse me, this is the easiest one to come off the top of my head, but I'm not trying to get political or anything. But let's say this question of how ought a 19-year-old boy be spending his time, right? Should he be learning Torah, or should he be learning to fight like Jewish boys throughout all the generations did? So, somebody might say, well, I am a frum Jew. I'm gonna get flack for this, but I'm a frum Jew. I believe in the 13 Ikarim. I do all the mitzvahs, and this is a matter of opinion. I can feel this way about it. You know, somebody else can feel a different way about it. Now, you know what? I'm not going to give any indication as to which side I believe in. See, I won't get flack. I'm not going to. You'll never guess. But whatever it is, I dare say that this is an example of something that one minute there's a Torah attitude on this. There's a Torah attitude on it. You can't just come and say because I feel a certain way. Because I feel a certain way, so that's my opinion. And, of course, right, this is a 21st century axiom. Each person is entitled to their opinion. Lisa Suru is saying otherwise. Each person is not entitled to their opinion. We have a lifetime career to try to align our opinions with the opinions of the Torah. Whatever the answer to the above question will be, you can try to figure out yourself. But this is the point. Don't just say, well, this is already an issue. I feel a certain way, and that's the way I feel about it. 1 minute, don't stop there. Go now and try to figure out. Well, I really just meant it as an example, because there's plenty of other examples that could be of this. This is just obviously the first example that would come to mind. But there's a very profound lashon of the Chazon Ish, where he says, Yud Gimel Eikarim Vehamista'afim. This is a very fundamental one word. Chazon Ish's lashonis, by the way, require a lot of limud. Yud Gimel Ikrim Vehamista'af, he says, the Yud Gimel Ikarim and all of their offshoots. Meaning, don't think that the Yud Gimel Ikarim is just is those 13, and as long as I'm not tampering directly with one of those 13, I'm okay. I have to realize that all those 13 have all kinds of implications, right? All kinds of implications, which are going to divide into all kinds of different additional categories. Yud Gimel Ikarim Vamistafrim, Oindim Heim Vestira Nimretes, Im Hamuskoles Hakalois, Ve'al Zerem Hachaim Hashoitfim Mitachas Pnei Hashemesh. That's approximately the Lashon. It's more poetic than that. But basically what he says is as follows. It's very profound. If you medayik the words, it's very, very fundamental. He says, realize that the Yud Gimel Ikarim Ve'hamistafim, meaning their finer points, the subtleties, the nuances of the Yud Gimel Ikarim are constantly conflicting with Hamuskalis Hakalis or Hamuskalis Kalis, a superficial sense of values, where people will naturally feel in an automatic way, this feels right to me, right? What's politically correct? Muskalis Hakalis, you know, people's sense of right and wrong in a superficial way, without thinking about it too much, will be in constant conflict with the nuances, with the subtleties of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. And with normal life, again, exactly his wording I don't remember, but they will constantly be conflicting with what people call normal. We just learned an example of this the other day in the Shia, in the Gemara in Brachas, where the Gemara tells about Ravada Barav. Ravada Barav. Aloch and Shulchan Aruch. You see a Rebbe walking down the street, he has shatnez pants on. What are you supposed to do? He knows that it's shatnez. He just doesn't feel comfortable taking it off. He doesn't know you're not supposed to tell him. Wait, try to get him home. But he knows that it's shatnez. What are you supposed to do? Take it off. He doesn't want to take it off, help him. That's the Aloch, it's Shulchan Aruch. Ask anybody out there whether that's the right thing to do. Of course it's not the right thing to do. Stira masmedes, Loshon Chazon Ish. Stira masmedes, a constant stira to muskolis hakalos, to a superficial sense of values. So yes, the Torah is a whole mentality full of attitudes that are deeper, that lay beyond the surface. And this is a lifetime career to be aligning our sensitivities, our value system, our sense of right and wrong with the terrorist. Now again, this is a lifetime career, but it's something we have to be busy developing. So this also is inferred in the Leisa Suru, when the Torah tells us you have to realize that yes, there are going to be all kinds of values out there, all kinds of things out there that will attract your mind, right? Whereas before we said, you might have the wrong sights attracting your eyes, there are the wrong things that attract your mind. There's rhetoric, there are people presenting things in polished ways, in politically correct ways, it sounds so nice, etc., etc. There's all kinds of assaults against your mind. You have to be busy keeping your mind in check and making sure that it's constantly aligned with the Torah values. Chavis HaLavas, in fact, says that this really is one of... It's an interesting thing, right? We have the Navi came, Amidah Malsholish, Amidah Malachas. In one place, Chavis HaLavas comes, Amidah Malsholish. He basically boils Judaism down to three main points. In Shah Avodah Sadekim, where there's a certain dialogue between the Nefesh and the Seichel. The person and his seichel. So he consults with the seichel. He says, "So what? Can you boil down for me three main points to what we are here to do in this world?" So basically, the three main points that he says are: Hayolach bedaitoy, va'aleisech almalas asoivlin, ubchor betoiv. We'll translate that into practical English. There's three main purposes that we're here in this world for: perfection of mind, perfection of character, and to choose good. We're not going to focus on perfection of character and choosing good now. Why is choosing good a career? It's something circumstantial. But first one right now, perfection of mind. This is an agenda in and of itself. Perfection of mind. To have my mind reflecting the Torah's full range of values. Not just the in a very broad way. I know the 13 Ikarim. I know the 613 do's and don'ts, and that's all. No, it's about aligning our minds, turning our minds into perfect minds, because the mind really is who we are. I have just one more example of this. Avigdor Miller, as you figured out by now that he's my Rebbe, but he was one time, someone wanted to be by him for Shabbos, and he said, okay, and the fellow told Rabbi Avigdor Miller, I'm a vegetarian. Well, it'd be okay, can you accommodate me for the Shabbos Suda? So he said, okay, I'll have to ask the Rebbetzin. Came back to me and said, yeah, it's okay, you can join us for Shabbos. Vegetarian. Okay, now, this fellow was in New York apparently for Shabbos. He came Thursday night, he came to the shul for the Thursday night shir. I was going to give his big shir Thursday night. So this fellow wrote this story. He wrote, I guess he didn't realize. He said, I was sitting in the back. I guess he didn't realize that I was in the crowd. He didn't know him. Apparently he did realize, and that's why he said what he said. He said, but exactly in that week's shiur, Avigdor Miller said, there are three reasons why a person might want to be a vegetarian. Either because he, for health reasons, in which case, Tovei Olav Bracha. Or because he doesn't like meat. No, that's his prerogative. Or it might be because he believes it's wrong on principle for a person to be eating animals' meat. And if that's why a person is a vegetarian, that person is an enemy of Hashem. That was what he said. So this fellow said, I kind of sat down in my chair hoping he wouldn't see me. And then he said the next night when I was actually by his Suda, as we started the Suda, after we washed, he said, the Rav turned to me and he said, so tell me, my friend, why are you a vegetarian? So he said, he started stammering and he said, oh, you don't like meat. Very good, very good. Well, what's the idea here? The idea here is the same thing. Don't come up with values. Don't come up with values. You can be nicer than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can be nicer than HaKadosh Baruch Hu if the Torah permits, but more than permits, encourages eating meat. Encourages eating meat. That means that if you feel it's the wrong thing, you might naturally feel that way. A person who watches a sheep be slaughtered, it's not a pleasant sight. It's mean. Wouldn't it be a better world if we wouldn't do that? So we don't blame you for feeling that way naturally. It's good. Midah v'rachmanas. It's a good thing. But if you see that the Torah does encourage it, and the Torah considers it more than legitimate, start thinking. Apparently, there's some gap between my value system and the objective true value system, because according to the objective true value system, I should be able to understand and feel that people slaughtering animals to eat is good and right and true. So it's not just enough that I say, okay, it's mutter. If somebody asks me why it's mutter, I should be able to say, okay. Ultimately, what we're aiming for is to be able to gain that feeling. How do you do that? So,
sounds like a person is not entitled to any individuality, any personal sensitivities. You all have to, like, conform to this Torah mind.
That's right. This is the ultimate truth and perfection that a person can achieve, and within there, there's plenty of room for individuality.
How can you
look
for individuality?
Did you
being told what to think, what to feel?
Did you
the individuality?
Read Pachad Yitzchok. Rav Yitzchok Hüttner's farm, Rav Chana Wasserman's farm, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's farm, and you'll see that there's plenty of room for individuality. And on the contrary, it actually enhances and encourages thought. Yes, these things are meant to deepen your thought process. When you're challenged to think a little deeper than you naturally feel like, don't be individual in the fact that you naturally have certain feelings and you stick with those natural feelings forever. Think a little more. When a person thinks more, he changes his natural feelings. On the contrary, if a person stays with his natural feelings, that's remaining with superficial individuality. Who wants that? Torah wants you to go deeper than your superficial understanding, and these are guides to be able to do that.
We're going to encounter neighbors, associates, whoever you're going to encounter in your life, and there's constantly going to be hiccups or whatever, so I have to turn to Das Torah. How do I deal with this situation? When can you use your rationale and say, I think this is the right thing to do? I'll lend the neighbor the eggs. I don't know, I'm not talking to Mitha. I'm saying, it sounds like we're constantly having to have our, you know, the rabbi on speed dial.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. In a general way, on the contrary, we're working to develop our own sensitivities. Right? To be able, it's not so far for a person to develop his sensitivities to the extent that yes, he's aligned with Torah sensitivities enough of a way to get him through the day, right? Most of us are a big part of the way there, right? We're not talking about saying who knows how. Most people who are raised from in a general way have the bulk of it. We're talking about developing more nuances and more subtleties, but in a general way, we do have those sensitivities. We want to take them further. The basic Torah sensitivities we certainly have. But if we'll just go back to that example, the example of the vegetarian. Right? Just for an example to show how we're talking about, yes, we're talking about something that's really a more fundamental. It's the understanding that, and I feel that it's wrong for a human to slaughter. By the way, I just want to differentiate. If a person is simply queasy, right, can't handle the thought, that's also fine. As long as you realize that, okay, I have a problem, I can't handle it. As long as you don't think that it's wrong, because it's disgusting. If you think, I'm a weakling, I can't handle the thought, say that. No, maybe you'll become tougher. But what's the idea? The idea is that if you think that it's wrong for a human to slaughter an animal, what are you saying in effect? What are you saying in effect? That basically human life and animal life are in equal standing. Isn't that the biggest form of apikorsis there could be? So of course, when a person is just thinking of it in a general way, he's not really thinking down to these subtleties. Fine, to say that, you know, we can forgive people for being superficial. But the point is that ultimately a person, yes, a person wants to be at a level where he is attuned to all of these fine sensitivities. So this is the next level, we might call the deeper level of where Leis HaSuros aim to get us to. Now, one more point that we'll just finish off with is, which is basically kind of the idea that we've been saying now, is not to let emotions run wild. Emotions, the way a person feels about things. We often have natural emotions. Not to let your emotions run wild. Don't stray after your heart. Meaning, don't let your emotions hold sway. Emotions are a very chashuva thing. Emotions are a very chashuva vehicle. They'll get you very far in Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem, tefillah, all kinds of other areas of Avodas Hashem, is machlokes between my watch and that. What time is it? Let's get a consensus.
That's probably more accurate.
That's more accurate.
We're in an eighth room.
Oh, okay, fine. So I'll just say, very briefly, emotions are like a car. A great vehicle, getting much farther than you can go on foot. But there has to be somebody driving the car. If you just hit the gas, or put it to drive, and then let it fly, you're going to be in big trouble. You have to have the seichel dictating the emotions. Leis HaSuros means don't let your emotions run fly free. the emotions have to be reined in by the seichel of the Torah, by the dictates of the Torah. Once they're aligned with the dictates of the Torah, let your emotions take you to the highest of places. Okay. We need that. We need that.